Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show, 720 WGN.
It's 9:10 in the morning. Kurt Summers is here, treasurer for the city of Chicago. Were you just at the MLK Day breakfast?
Yeah, I was at the breakfast. It was great. Yeah. It was great, yeah. Big room, big crowd.
And people didn't use a cold as an excuse not to show up?
No, not today at least.
Good. Am I right about this? A year and a couple of months? When were you appointed?
December 1st, 2014.
Oh, just over a year.
Yeah, so almost 14 months.
Well, the city's got no money. Did you even get a cake for your anniversary?
No, not even close.
Take it to the vending machine, buy a candy bar or something?
Barely got a pat on the back, you know?
I do have an extra 20 in the wallet for you if you want to take it back to the mayor. Yeah. My little way to help.
I'm looking at my staff when I say that.
Because, you know, as a treasurer, you have to count money. There has to be money to count money,
right,
which is one of the reasons we're talking about all the good things that are happening that get underreported and actually investing in this city that we all love.
Yeah, yeah. It's a tough time to be in a position where your job is to invest the money when we have a lot less than we need.
So when you look at the balance sheet for the city or the imbalance sheet for the city and what you want to do for 2016, what are those meetings like?
Tense. you know, if you think about it, so we manage in the city's portfolio, you know, on any given day, $6 to $7 billion.
Right.
And as you know from sort of the budget discussions, you know, we've been anywhere from $500 million to $1 billion short in making things balance. So the difficult conversations is, where's that other money going to come from? I need it to make it balance. And the more of it I have, the more of it I can invest, the more revenue I can generate, right?
Well, we know the state has a ton of uncollected funds. And I don't know if it's like, you know, I sort of equate it with the deadbeat uncle syndrome. If I owe the deadbeat uncle money, maybe I can walk away from it because, you know, all the times I've lent him money to begin with. So if you're a bad credit risk like the state of Illinois has become, maybe some people aren't as inclined to come give you your money. Is the city of Chicago owed a bunch of money as well that we don't know about?
Well, I think the city of Chicago has, you know, significant debt outstanding to it as a collector. And the city pays through the revenue department, that's not through my office, but through the revenue department, they pay millions of dollars a year to collection agencies to try and collect the debt.
But that money coming in would help you.
For sure. But the question is, I don't know what the efficacy, the quality of that collection is, how good it is. And there was a study that was done maybe a year or so ago that said some of the stuff is decades old. You may never see it, right?
Well, you'd have to walk away from some of it. It's a percentage of it,
for
part
sure.
of life.
A big thing that we focus on isn't so much the collection, but the funds that we do have. You know, the city is in its highest level of debt in its history. We've raised so much debt from the capital markets, from Wall Street. But we have hundreds of millions of dollars that's sitting there unspent, outstanding, because the raising of the capital has outpaced the actual spend and the projects being done. And so, you know, the question, the real tense conversation comes when I raise and say, hey, there's $300 million sitting in these project accounts. They've been sitting there since Rich Daley was mayor. What are we going to do with that money, and why hasn't it been spent? So those are the real fun conversations.
Kurt, I'm sure you get this question all the time from city taxpayers and residents. We have among the highest property taxes in the nation. We pay the highest for parking, entertainment taxes, parking meters, red light cameras. Where is all that money going?
Sales. You know, let's just keep going, right? The money is going to fund city, county, and state services. So if you think about sales tax, property tax, that goes to all three of those levels of government. The city and the county are actually a smaller portion of than the state is. So we get sticker shock from the big number, and then there's a smaller sliver. But it goes to fund police. It goes to fund fire. It goes to fund people picking up your trash.
To pay the bills.
Yeah, to pay the bills. I mean, we truly do have an operating budget of $7 billion. Mm-hmm.
So
it's got to get paid.
The $300 million, though, because you live in the city.
I do.
You live this every day. The $300 million you were talking about that's sitting there,
yeah.
You've been sitting there since Richie Daley, Got to make your hair fall out.
Oh, it drives me.
I don't have any left to fall out. But help us with some basic knowledge here. Who pulls the trigger on that $300 million eventually?
Every individual department. That's the thing.
That's the problem.
The process.
Everybody gets a vote.
Everyone gets a vote. They do it at the time in which they're ready. And it's so decentralized, you can't just force and say, well, we're just going to wipe all that out. This department says, well, wait a second, we haven't gotten to that project yet. This one says it's going to move it over here. It's maddening. And then what's more, you know, there was a story that was done this year that said we spent $75 million in fees to banks last year, higher than almost any place in the country. What the banks require us to do when we borrow money isn't just borrow the money for the projects. Right now we have over $700 million sitting in debt service reserve accounts. So we have to overborrow and pay interest on the overborrowing and pay fees on the overborrowing so the money can sit there just in case something happens.
And those are all administrative fees at $75
million? Yeah, it's underwriting fees, administrative fees. Paper pushing fees, whatever you want to call them.
Why is it also too? And I'm sure this is more probably a legal question, or maybe for the city council even. But why is it that when so many of these lawsuits are settled, you know, $5 million, whether it's well deserved or not, these many families are given $5 million or settlements. Why does it come out of the taxpayer funds?
Yeah, I mean, some cities actually insure against this. It's not an uncommon practice. So the city can decide whether they set aside money every year, they self-insure, or you can go to Aon or, you know,
Lloyd's of London.
Lloyd's does have a product.
Oh, I don't doubt
they
it.
Back what's called civic risk. And they say, look, you go in a police chase, a police car hits someone's property, you can insure against that. Why not? My view is, you know, as a Chicago resident, as a taxpayer, as an advocate for the people of Chicago, someone who works for the people of Chicago, all of these things have to be raised. All of these things have to be questioned. And I think particularly now when, you know, you talk about a settlement, look at the communities that we're talking about here that haven't had any investment in their neighborhoods,
sure,
increasingly are subject to regressive taxes. And neighborhoods like the one I grew up in, Bronzeville in Chicago on the
sure.
south side, I'd be mad as hell. And I'd say, look, enough's enough. Money's not being used to support my neighborhood, invest in my neighborhood, and it's certainly not leading to what I believe are fair outcomes for people like me.
Does it come down to the power of the voter? Is that too idealistic? In other words, can I go to my alderman and say, you're not my alderman anymore unless you get your ass in gear on this?
100% yes. You know, most aldermanic races in this city are, you have less than 10,000 votes. And a number of them.
Yeah, you got to be engaged.
In the wards. And so they're decided by a couple thousand votes or less. There's power in the vote. There's power in mobilization.
Well, that's a great problem we have with the presidential election, obviously. The far right and the far left are the people that show up for the primaries. In the middle, the people that wait to decide who the president is and complain about who the choices are. You got to get involved in the process that exists, even as broken as it is, so that you get the candidates you want to vote for in the general.
Yeah. Look, if you look at, you know, when we had hotly contested elections in Chicago in the early 80s, voter turnout then was 80%+. This last mayoral election, 40% or less in the black community, 35% Hispanic community, around the same. Overall, 40%, half of what it used to be. We are half as engaged at best.
And how come the vehicle stickers are so much, too? And will those ever go back down?
And can you pay for Andreas?
No, absolutely not. I pay for my own.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to like the contest that they have, too. I know that became a controversy at one point, too.
Yeah, I think you got to ask Clerk Mendoza about that.
Right, but, I know. But, I used to like the different.
Actually, I heard an interesting idea the other day. Someone said, look, we got to do vehicle stickers. Why don't we get rich guys that have boats and planes, get them to have some other, you know, luxury
sticker. Or permit, yeah.
I thought it wasn't a bad idea.
It's not a terrible idea. Yeah. I mean, you know, most of the rich folks I know, and I'm doing fine. I'm not them, but I do okay. I'd be happy to kick in a couple extra bucks.
Yeah.
I got 20 in my wallet. Did I mention that?
Yeah.
I think that would be a good
I'm collecting on the way out.
Yeah, exactly. We'll take a break. I want to talk to you about 77 Proud, because you're kicking that off today, mm-hmm. in part to honor Dr. King, but you were mentioning the neighborhoods. You know, there's a roast coming up for Richard Dent at the end of February, and the money's from it, from the Better Boys Foundation and Family Foundation, is specific to Lawndale. And I was talking to a couple of folks from the organization, and they're talking about Lawndale sitting, you know, you look at New Orleans since Katrina.
Yeah.
You can dial back the calendar on Lawndale and go back a decade, 20 years, even farther, and see that economic development just stopped.
Yeah.
And you can't have it. I mean, these kids in the neighborhood, if they don't have any opportunity, then the gang looks like a good idea.
Exactly right. You know, I had this. I was over in Lawndale yesterday at a church, and we had this conversation, and it was really simple. Looks the same today as it did 30 years ago, you know, and young people who are out there who have maybe young families are saying, I got two choices, right? I can do something that's frowned upon and maybe criminal activity not welcomed, or my kid can starve.
Right.
So
it's a bad day.
Those neither one of those are choices that should be acceptable to anybody here, any of your listeners, any person in Chicago.
And we can talk it to death, or we can do something about it.
That's right.
So 77 Proud. Details in a moment. 921 on 720 WGN. Steve Cochran Show, number 567, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Twitter at Cochran Show and Facebook, Steve Cochran Show, 312-981-7200 for texters and phone calls. And City Treasurer Kurt Summers is here. You know, Kurt, and this goes to the 77 Proud Project, there's nothing worse than the death of hope.
Yeah.
You got to have hope. You got to have hope, and you got to have something to believe in. So here on MLK Day, I think it's a nice way to remind people of what the day is about, to kick it off, that it's not just the sale at Walmart, that 77 Proud's got some foundational meaning to it. So what is it, and what do you want to do?
Yeah, so we're kicking it off this afternoon at Stone Temple Church, which is the church 50 years ago Dr. King spoke at when he was here on the west side of Chicago. It was also, you know, one of the places that in the beginning, in his birthday 48 years ago, when they launched the Poor People's Campaign in the basement, and they said, you know, the last leg of social justice and civil rights here is economic justice, and is about having economic empowerment. And that all starts with hope and belief that in the American dream, and that you can have an opportunity just like anyone else in the world. So what we're doing today is we're gathering community leaders, faith-based leaders, business leaders, elected officials from around the entire city to launch this campaign called 77 Proud. You know, Chicago has 77 neighborhoods. I started in office my first 77 days. I had a meeting in every one of the 77 neighborhoods. Because, you know, I grew up here, grew up on the South Side, and I realized that early on, no one knows someone's neighborhood better than they know themselves.
Got to talk to the people there.
You got to go there. How you know, sort of pretentious or egotistical or whatever would it be to think you know better than the people who have been there for half a century?
Sure.
So we made it our business to go. It was hard, but to 77 neighborhoods in 77 days.
And I bet you heard over and over again, I need resources. And by the way, resources aren't just money.
No, that's right. I mean, part of it was just, we talked about engagement before the break. Part of it is just, we need to be engaged. We know what's best for our community if you would just listen to us.
Right.
If you could have a seat at the table. So what we learned is that every neighborhood here in Chicago is proud, right? They're proud of their history. They have a unique culture. Royko called it a patchwork quilt, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And my belief is that this 77 Proud campaign that we're starting today is about meeting people where they are, bringing real financial opportunity, economic opportunity, every single neighborhood in this city. So today kicks off a series of events we're going to have around the entire city, where we're coming to your community and we're creating a program unique to your neighborhood, partnering with community-based organizations and saying, here's what we understand the needs are here, and we're here delivering services and bringing you to the table so you can have a different, potentially a different outcome for your life.
And this is stuff, these are programs, this isn't just talk, these are programs that have been thought out, planned out, and are going to be instituted in 11 different areas, right?
That's right. So we broke down the 77 neighborhoods into 11 regions. Each region's going to have an event. And it's going to be everything from financial education to tax assistance, credit building, to job support, resume building, you name it. There isn't a person who can't benefit from being engaged in this way. And if we touch them, whatever their situation is, we're going to be able to help. And we're literally bringing a mountain of resources and putting a ton of support and focus on this.
One of the things I like about it, too, is it eliminates excuses.
That's right.
Because there's people that go, well, you know, I got help with my taxes here, but big deal, I don't have a job, and I don't know where to go for the job resource piece of this. These are all interconnected.
That's right.
I don't know if anybody's talked about this. Is there a way to give people free CTA as long as they're going from one or the other?
Well, we haven't talked about it. It's an interesting idea. Our hope is that it's sort of at a central enough location to represent half a dozen neighborhoods that they can get close.
I think it's a reward. It's a reward. I go in for the tax planning. Yeah. You give me a seat. You give me a coupon that says I was there.
Yeah.
I can use it, but I got to use it to go to the next one.
Yeah, that's a great idea. And the other thing that we're doing, you talk about this tax and credit stuff. So you want to come get your taxes done for free. Great. First of all, today what happens is, most folks who are sort of working class folks, you might go to a local tax preparer. You might want that money sooner rather than later. So let's say you can get a $2,000-$4,000 return. You know, you're going to be out 20-30% of that just in that process
sure.
of paying it. And a lot of folks, you know, they get that short windfall. There's no plan for what to do with that money. You know, maybe you're paying off some holiday bills. Maybe you got something you had your eye on. It's not being put to work for you or for
right.
your household or for your kids. So we're bringing that full package to you and saying, hey, not only are we going to do this, we're also going to help you with your credit. We're also going to, we got three banks here who are going to help you put that money
to work idea.
If you have anything you want
to save
for.
It's a great idea.
I think it's great, too, because a lot of people don't know that these free services are available.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're
huge.
Doubling the capacity of them. Last year, there were 20,000 families we helped get tax assistance in Chicago. We're doubling the number of locations this year, and we're doing this outreach. So we expect it to reach 40 to 50,000 families, and it's going to be tens of millions of dollars of value that otherwise just leaves our economy and doesn't get reinvested.
Yeah, and that drain we can't take.
That's right.
So
I do have an interest here.
Yes, exactly. It's great to have you in, and I'm happy to help you big mouth this for as long as it goes. But let's keep this conversation going, too, on things. Last question,
sure,
because I'm late, and I'll let you go. The interconnectivity of the state's budget problem with what you have to do in the treasurer's office is what?
It's vital. Let me tell you why, specifically as it relates to schools. The schools can't operate without the state. They are state-funded, state-supported, and the funding formula is entirely determined by the state. City of Chicago's credit, I'm an investor, right? The City of Chicago's credit rating, no matter what we do in every other area of the city, continues to be dragged down by the situation with the schools.
Right.
Will not matter. So whether we're talking about teacher pensions, we're talking about fair funding, doesn't matter. There's a direct tie. So every person, if you say, well, that state stuff has nothing to do with me, I live in the city, it has everything to do with you. It has everything to do with, you know, a good quality school for your kid, everything to do with the cost of everything else that you do. Because the more we get hit by the markets and our credit ratings, the more we have to charge you for it.
Yep.
Right? So pay attention, get involved, get engaged. The state stuff matters.
Definitely get engaged. All right, I'm going to give you $20. Who do I assign this to?
Yeah, Kurt. A. Summers Jr.
The Honorable. Put in the front.
I'm just going to write, good luck, Steve.
Good luck.
You know, this is a felony to deface a $20 bill.
Is that right?
So I don't consider this a felony.
Don't worry, I won't tell anybody.
Okay, now spend this well. If I come over to the office and it's framed, I'm going to tell you to take the frame down and spend it on the city. Now take it to the first stop. Here's what you do.
Use it there.
Take it to the first stop today. You see a great kid? Kid that's in it, give him $20.
I'll tell you what I'll do. At our first event on January 22nd, I'll use this if we don't have, because it's a short term time turnaround to get the CTA program up
there you go.
January 22nd.
There you go.
Pay for somebody's.
We'll pay for some CTA rights. How about
that?
I believe I've solved all the city's problems.
I believe you have, yeah.
Great seeing you.
Thanks a lot, Steve.
And thanks for playing hurt. I know you're not feeling 100%. I appreciate you coming over.
I appreciate it.
All right. And happy MLK, Dr. King Day, MLK Day today to everybody. And again, what did we say earlier? We say this again and again. Sit down with your kids. Talk to them about Dr. King. Don't assume the schools did it.
Yeah.
Explain the significance of the day.